Gunsmoke, to the last man.
This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
The Pleasant Valley War of the 1880s in Arizona was one of the bloodiest episodes in the annals of the American West. What began as a family feud between the Tewksburys and the Grahams escalated into widespread bloodshed as vigilante ranchers took the law into their own hands and scores of people, including innocents, paid the price with their lives. James Arness. Gunsmoke. To the Last Man, with narrative description by AudioVision. In the high desert of Arizona, a few people attend a funeral.
This is a hard land. About as hard as land comes. This is a land that's broken more men than it's made. Women too, as far as that goes. But Mike, she was no ordinary woman. She was a wonder. She was a fine-blooded, spirited woman that had as much sand in her as any man that ever rode this desert or these hills.
By the grave, Matt Dillon stands solemnly beside Mike's daughter, Beth.
But she set to it, she built, and she prospered. And now the good Lord has seen fit to take her away from us. Yes, he reached down and touched her with the fever. Ain't fair. Ain't fair, some of you are saying to yourselves. Mike having to leave her loved ones like this. Beth there, Matthew. But remember, the Lord only done it so he could take her home to himself. And it ain't for us to figure out the mysteries of his holy ways. And that's about all I've got to say on the subject, so if you fellas would like to lower the coffin into the ground.
The men step forward as Beth lays a small bouquet of wildflowers on the coffin. Supervising producer, Jim Burns.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Producer, Ken Swore.
The way of all flesh. Praise be his holy name. Amen. Amen.
Written by Earl W. Wallace. Directed by Jerry Jameson. Dillon and Beth stand by the grave as people leave. The preacher drinks from a liquor bottle, but puts it down when they walk up.
Thank you, Zach. That was well spoken.
Appreciate it, Matt.
Bet. I'll see to the folks.
We're all gonna miss a child, but what's done is done. We gotta get on with other things. You've gotta get that education that your mama was always so proud of talking about. Now, you still got your daddy. You cleave to him and, time will take care of the rest.
Beth tries to smile. A man approaches Dillon.
Matt, I just want to tell you again how sorry I am about this. Losing family like that's the hardest I know.
Yeah, thank you, Charlie.
But I guess me and the boys better get back to work.
Later, Dillon stands by the corral with Mike's horse. He pats the animal's neck.
Carried a good buck.
Beth walks up and strokes the horse's nose.
I wish we could all spend more time together, Beth.
He puts a hand on her shoulder.
You know, Beth, it's all right to cry.
She never cried.
She was a strong woman. just glad I was here at the end.
In Tombstone, Arizona, a man loads a wagon at the train station, then climbs onto the seat. The man holding the reins drives the wagon away. Dylan walks away from the ticket window. He joins Beth, who waits nearby.
The train's delayed. It's gonna break down in Tucson. It's gonna be a while.
I was hoping it wouldn't arrive at all.
Now, Beth, we've been over that a lot of times this last 3 weeks.
I guess so.
As long as we're stuck here, what do you say we go get something to eat?
I think that's an excellent idea.
Come on.
In the saloon.
I just don't understand why you won't let me stay here and take care of you.
Beth, you gotta finish school first. Then you come back. We'll have a lot of time to spend together. Look, this is what your mother wanted more than anything.
Well, she wanted that when she thought she'd still be here. Now I think she'd say different.
Beth, this is how it's gotta be.
You are the stubbornest human being I've ever known.
Now, that's funny. That's what your mother used to say about you.
A rowdy group bursts through the saloon doors. One bumps into a man standing at the bar and draws his gun.
Mister, where I come from, a man get killed scaring another man damn near half to death like that. Now get.
The man leaves as the rowdy fires into the floor.
You buy that man a drink.
I buy nobody.
I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty.
Dylan and Beth get up to leave. One of the rowdies notices Beth.
What do we got here, huh?
Boy, Tommy, go get her.
Well, hello, sweet thing. Well, if you ain't about as half pretty, huh?
You're in my way, mister.
You know, I'm trying to talk to this sweet little lady here.
Yeah, well, you talked. Now move.
Dad.
Daddy? Well, Daddy, I may just decide to steal this little lady back home with me.
Well, I'd move if I was you.
Tommy goes for his gun. Dylan knocks him to the floor and draws.
He's not worth dying for. Forget it, boy.
The other rowdy takes his hand off his gun.
I ain't no boy.
Dylan returns his attention to Tommy on the floor.
Now, mister, my daughter's waiting for an apology. I'm not a patient man.
With Dylan's gun trained on him, Tommy puts his hat back on and climbs to his feet.
I'd like to apologize. Damn.
Hello, Matt.
The town sheriff pushes through the saloon doors.
You got some trouble here, do you?
No, not anymore, Tom. Young fella here just need a little brush up on his manners. School's out.
Yeah, so I see. Well, I'll take it from here.
Much blood.
Tommy watches, blood dripping from his cut lip, as Beth and Dylan leave.
Them your ponies outside, boys?
Yeah, they're ours. And they ain't stole, if that's what you're hinting at.
Oh, I ain't hinting. I'm telling you. Get outside, get on those ponies, and get out of here.
You got no right. No more than that old man had any right.
Son, the name of that old man is Matt Dillon. And you're all damn lucky you ain't laid out in pine boxes. Now get.
Man represents the law, boys. Do like he says. Get.
Tommy leads his friends out, kicking over furniture on the way. Out in the desert, the mountains rise dramatically in the distance as cattle mill between the bushes and cacti. A young man stands among the cattle and unsuccessfully practices roping.
Throw a bigger loop, Will.
Charlie walks over as Will slaps his hat on his leg in frustration and fights with the rope.
I said bigger.
Charlie takes the rope.
Cowboying ain't algebra, Will. Learn it like anything else if you put your mind to it. You know, you come out here with all that Eastern College know-how, but books ain't exactly the same as the doing. And doing is putting this rope around that steer. Hell, any 10-year-old can rope a steer.
Well, maybe I'm too old to learn.
No. It's easy.
Tommy Graham's gang rides to a stop nearby.
Yeah, there he is, all right.
Which one?
The oldest one.
You sure got a big burr under your saddle, Tommy. I mean, coming this far after one fella.
That just ain't one fella, Texas. That's a Tewksbury.
What are you fixing to do?
Making Charlie Tewksbury a sorry man.
Yep. Tommy pulls out his rifle, and the gang rides forward.
Come on. Company, Charlie. Yeah. Charlie?
Charlie, Will, and another man watch as Tommy's group rides toward them.
Should have kept running, Charlie.
Hey, what do you want?
Shut up!
Wasn't running, Tommy. Just got sick of all the killing.
Killing ain't over. Not yet.
I ain't armed.
Wouldn't matter if you was.
Tommy shoots Charlie in the heart. Will and the other man run, but Will is ridden down. The other man grabs his rifle, and one of the gang aims at him.
Rusty, shoot him!
Rusty hesitates, so another gang member shoots.
What's wrong with you?
Hey, Tommy, you didn't say nothing about shooting him down. That there's just cold blood.
It's just the way he'd have done me the other way around. I told you when I hired you on, it was a blood feud. There ain't no such thing as rules.
All right, Billy, bunch out them cattle and get home.
That ain't much, Tommy. Maybe about 100 head.
Well, every little bit helps, don't it? Get to work.
First you kill a man and then you steal his cows? Just get out of here.
Hey, you hold on.
Tommy grabs Rusty.
Them ain't Tewksbury cattle out there. Those are Matt Dillon's.
I figured Dillon owes me a little something.
I didn't count on none of this.
Well, you make up your mind, Texas. You coming or going? Yeah!
Tommy gallops off. Rusty watches as Will stirs on the ground, then lies still again.
Yeah!
Come on now, yeah! Yeah!
Tommy's gang rounds up the cattle and drives them off.
Come on now.
Yeah!
Get on up back.
That night, the train arrives at the station.
Wake up, folks. Train's here.
Dillon wakes up Beth.
Looks like it's coming.
The station master swings his lantern. The train's headlamp grows larger in the dark as it approaches. Will rides up as they wait for the train to stop.
Mr. Dillon!
Will runs to the platform.
Will!
Rustlers, Mr. Dillon. They shot Charlie and Jesse. They're dead. Then they run off maybe 100 head.
Who were they?
Charlie, he knew him. He called one of them Tommy. One of them was just a kid. He was riding in Appaloosa.
What are you going to do?
Beth, you gotta get on the train.
No.
Will, would you put your saddle on a buggy horse?
Yes, sir. Goodbye, Beth.
Beth, you gotta get on the train.
You're going after them, aren't you?
Look, where I'm going doesn't matter. You gotta get to Philadelphia.
I should go away at a time like this. I should be here with you.
Beth, I'll be here when you get back.
All aboard!
Please, get on the train.
She grabs her bag and marches furiously to the train. Dillon watches as she climbs aboard and the train starts to roll. Defiantly, Beth stares straight ahead, ignoring her father as the train pulls out. Dillon turns away with a grim expression.
Will, where'd this happen?
Sanchez Creek, just below the canyon. Mr. Dillon, I couldn't even get to a gun.
Don't worry about that, Will. We didn't hire you to get yourself killed. Look, find the sheriff, will you? Tell him what happened?
Yes, sir.
You all right?
I just got a knock in the head. I'm okay.
Maybe get it checked out.
I will.
Dillon mounts his horse and rides off into the darkness. On the train, while most of the passengers sleep, Beth sits wearing a sullen expression. Lifting a shutter, she peers out the window as the train pulls into its next stop. Creeping over to another seat for a better view, she spots a livery stable. Quietly, she gets off the train.
Hello? Anybody here?
Inside the stable, it's quiet and dark. She goes to where a line of horses is tied up and looks them over. A man lies snoring on a pile of feed bags.
Hey, mister.
Who the hell are you?
Mister, how much for this big mare here?
She ain't for sale.
No time to haggle, mister. How much?
Lady, are you crazy? You can't buy that horse. You can't buy any of these horses because I ain't selling horses.
Why not?
Why? I don't know. Well, because it ain't business hours, that's why.
She's probably not worth 50, but I'll give you 75.
He perks up, roused by the roll of bills in her hand.
75.
Cash.
Smiling, he grabs the money.
How about a saddle?
Lady, I ain't a mercantile.
Fine, I'll get 5.
She rides off into the darkness. In the daylight, Beth gallops across the desert at the foot of the mountains. Elsewhere in the desert, Dillon rides to the spot where Tommy Graham ambushed Charlie. Their campfire still smolders, and the bodies of Jesse and Charlie lie on the ground.
Charlie.
Rides through a herd of steers, scattering them, and pulls into a ranch yard.
Beth?
Will comes out of the house, putting on a pair of glasses.
Oh, Beth, you aren't supposed to be here.
Where's my father?
He went after the rustlers. Then the sheriff and a couple of deputies took off after him.
How far after Matt were they?
A good day. Northwest, near as I can tell.
How's your head?
Oh, I was just a little woozy at first. A little pain now and then.
Oh, Will, take care of that horse for me.
His face is grim as she walks past him into the house. Meanwhile, Dillon is following the trail of Tommy's gang as he rides out of the desert toward the foothills. The cacti and desert scrub have disappeared from the landscape, replaced by dry grass blowing in the wind and small evergreen bushes. Fluffy clouds hang in a blue sky as Dylan rides across the rolling prairie at the foot of the mountains. He has arrived at Pleasant Valley in the Arizona Territory. Elsewhere, at night, men on horseback carry torches and hide their faces under cloth sacks. They haul a young man out of a house and put him on a horse.
Ain't no rustler! Gang of damn murderers!
All we need is a strong tree and a sturdy rope.
No, trail to Cherry Creek. I want folks to see. Let's go, men!
They ride off into the darkness, their flaming torches held high. Riders stop when they see a campfire.
Could be out here.
I want no witnesses coming back here on us. Take a look.
Some of the men go to investigate. One of them stands over the sleeping Dylan. Dylan grabs the rifle barrel and throws the man to the ground, but two others get the drop on him before he can pull his knife.
Who are you?
Give me that.
One of them takes his knife.
We never stole a cow in our lives.
We've decided different. You're gonna hang. Decreed by the Committee of 50.
Three nooses hang from a tree branch.
Get on with it, boys.
You're not gonna get away with this.
The vigilantes steer three men on horseback to the nooses.
Who's that?
Some damn drifter.
My name's Dylan.
Is that so? What do you think you're doing here?
I figure him to be one of them Graham cow thieves. I'll say we stretch him like the others.
Vigilantes.
Night riders.
You don't know what you rode into here, mister. Tomorrow you ride yourself out of this valley, forget everything you saw here.
Let's hang him too.
No, forget about this one.
Dylan is clubbed from behind and falls.
Okay, boys, we got business here. Let's get on with it.
Dear God, don't do this! What's gonna happen to our families?
Well, ain't that just too bad?
That's what they all say.
You men are gonna be a lesson for the next rustlers that come this way. Now, hang!
The victims' horses run off, leaving their riders swinging and jerking at the ends of their nooses. The hooded vigilantes, guns and torches high, watch as the victims' bodies swing. Then they begin to leave, stepping around Dylan's unconscious body. Next morning, the three bodies swing gently from the tree branch as their horses wait nearby. Dylan begins to regain consciousness. His attention on the hanging bodies, Dylan gets to his feet. Later, Dylan rides away, leading the three horses with the three dead men hanging over their backs. Meanwhile, on the ranch, Beth sits in the sunshine beside her mother's grave as cattle wander outside the little enclosure. Finally, she stands and walks toward the house. Will is fixing a fence.
Will, saddle Red Wing for me and throw a pack saddle on the mule.
Where are you going?
After Matt. I've been thinking about Pleasant Valley and all the trouble up there Charlie Tewksbury told
Alone?
Us about.
No, no, no. I can't allow that.
You don't have a say. I just visited my mom. I know what she would have done. She'd go.
Well, if you're going, I'm going with you. Your dad would never forgive me if I let you go alone.
Will.
I'm going with you.
It's going to be a hard ride, Will. I just hope you can keep up.
In Pleasant Valley, Dylan is leading the three horses across the grassland when he meets a wagon carrying a rowboat. A portly man sits in an armchair in the boat reading a newspaper.
Huh?
Three men on horseback ride alongside.
Ain't that a pretty cat?
When they meet up with Dylan, the wagon stops.
Oh. Good day to you, sir.
I'm looking for the nearest law.
Well, that'd be patient that way a few hours. Who might you be?
My name's Matt Dillon, and you're Colonel Tucker. We met before, Colonel, after the war at Dodge City. You were running Longhorns up from Texas.
You were the federal marshal. By God, I remember now. You saved my hide when that bunch of drunk Yankee soldiers jumped me. By damn, Dillon, ain't coincidence something? And there's my youngest son, Cole. Welcome to Pleasant Valley.
I've already been welcomed, Colonel. You know any of those men?
Well, yes, sir. I think I recognize them. Troublemakers, all of them. That and there fancied yourself some kind of a gun hand. What happened?
Vigilante party strung them up last night. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Colonel?
No, sir, I wouldn't. Except there is some rumors. You see, we have us an unfortunate situation here in the valley, a feud. Been going on for 6 years now. Lots of killing. Between the Tewksburys and the Grahams.
Been reading about it in the papers down south.
Our problem is these killings has acted like a magnet, drawing riffraff from everywhere. Got so a man can't leave his stock on the range one day and be sure he's in the business the next. Courts, the law, ain't up to the job. So the rumor is a group of righteous folks got together, put an end to it. That's a rumor, anyway.
Well, what happened last night was murder, Colonel. I'm going to report it that way.
You do what you have to do, Matt. Of course, the message is going to get across, anyway.
You going fishing?
Well, for a matter of fact, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Going fishing for land. Did you ever hear of the U.S. Swampland Act? Law allows such terrain as can be traversed only by boat can be claimed free and clear.
Don't see any swamp.
What technicality? Lord, I figure a couple of million years ago, there had to be a swamp right here.
Be hard to prove, wouldn't it?
Prove? Why, my boy Virgil found a petrified toad right up that canyon. Of course, let the government prove to the contrary. Matt, I would ride careful. Because the rumor is, it's more tidy enough to be done here in Pleasant Valley. Let's go, boys.
Get up, Cam.
Dylan continues toward town, and the colonel returns to his paper as his wagon moves off. Elsewhere, Beth and Will ride up to a swiftly moving river.
This'll do. Plenty of water and grass. I'll see to the horses. You unpack, build a fire, and start dinner.
Me?
Why don't I see to the horses and you unpack and start a fire and make dinner?
In the first place, because I want the horses tended to right. And in the second place, because you work for me.
Hold it. Your mom hired me, and now I work for your dad.
Which I thought was a mistake at the time.
Okay, I'll cook. But the first complaint I hear, you get the job.
Later, they sit by a fire with plates of food.
That's worse than hog leavings.
Do I hear a complaint?
Very tasty hog leavings.
In the town of Payson in the Arizona Territory, Dylan leads the horses carrying the three hanged men down the main street. A man wearing a badge straightens when he notices the caravan of bodies approaching. Dylan dismounts and leads the horses over to him.
Lord almighty. Who are you?
My name's Dylan. Yours?
I'm Deputy Rudd. What happened?
Where's the sheriff?
Well, he took a prisoner up to Contention City. He won't be back till later.
When he gets back, you tell him I want to see him. These men were lynched.
Dylan turns and walks off.
What am I supposed to do with them? Get them out of the sun, I guess.
Deputy Rudd leads the horses away. Later, Dylan walks out of a building onto the sidewalk. Noticing something, he crosses to where three horses are tied up on the other side of the street. One of the horses has a distinctive spotted coat. He examines the horse and saddle carefully. Grim-faced, Dylan heads into the saloon. Sure enough, sitting inside are Rusty and two more of Tommy Graham's gang.
Hello, boys.
One of the men gets to his feet.
It ain't old man Dylan. Long way from home, ain't you?
Looking for the men that murdered Charlie Tewksbury and Jesse Turner, rode off with 100 head of my cattle.
Cattle?
A second man stands.
What cattle?
In killing. I don't know nothing about no killing.
Rusty gets up waving a glass.
Ain't you the one that whooped Tommy?
Boys, maybe you want to take this outside.
Shut up, Cap. If I were you, Dylan, I'd head back down south.
Spurs flying.
Rusty saunters up to Dylan.
Better ease off, boy. It's a whiskey talking. You don't want to have to back it.
It's supposed to be some kind of warning.
Advice.
Your eyes bad, mister? There's three guns here. You coming down with the dwindles. I'd leave, mister.
When I do, I'll be driving 100 head of cattle.
Your ears going too?
The first man reaches for his gun, and Dylan knocks Rusty to the floor and shoots the first man. The second man draws, and Dylan shoots him too. The bartender peeks over the top of the bar, and the deputy races across the street loading a shotgun. The deputy watches Dylan drag Rusty to his feet.
There's a man. You keep running with this pack, you're gonna wind up dead.
One of the bystanders walks up to the deputy.
Willie, didn't you go arrest him or something?
Dub, that man rode into town trailing three corpses. He's just accounted for two more. It ain't even noon yet. You arrest him.
Later, a stagecoach pulls into town.
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey. Hey, hey.
A woman gets out, followed by an older man carrying a rifle. He notices the bodies being removed from the saloon and walks over. He addresses a thin man dressed in black.
Cloud, what the hell is this?
Gunfight, Sheriff. Not half an hour ago, a couple of Graham's boys took on a stranger.
Stranger?
Dillon's his name. I must say, since he rode in, the business climate has improved considerable. Good day, Sheriff.
The sheriff marches grimly inside where Dillon is talking to Rusty.
Too much whiskey. Sooner or later leads to trouble.
When are you gonna stop trying to talk horse sense into mules?
Dillon frowns and saunters over to the sheriff.
Yep. Bob.
Abel Rhodes.
Matt Dillon. How long has it been?
Sheriff, I can explain.
I doubt it, Willie. Don't interrupt your elders.
71, wasn't it? You and I partnered up to bring in Cal Harper and his brothers.
What?
No, no thanks.
The bartender brings the sheriff a shot, and he tosses it back.
You want to tell me what happened here?
Lost 100 head of cattle to rustlers down near the Dragoons. Followed them up here.
And you're sure they're the ones?
Been after him for a week.
Ain't shooting a mite harsh for cattle stealing?
They didn't give me much choice, Abel.
He's lying.
Dillon walks over to the defiant Rusty.
Hey, listen to me, boy. You're gonna lead me to my cattle. And then you're gonna help me drive them back where they came from.
Like hell I am.
Dillon grabs him by the vest.
Well, I've been mightily inconvenienced by you and your friends. Are you going back to Tombstone? And you're gonna answer to the law for rustling and murder?
I didn't kill nobody.
But if you didn't, maybe you won't hang.
Dillon marches Rusty out of the saloon as Sheriff Rose watches. Outside, Dillon ties Rusty to the saddle of his horse.
What are you doing now? This ain't dignified.
Well, neither's laying in the sawdust on a saloon floor.
Sheriff Rose strides across the street.
You got everything you need, Matt?
Yeah.
You sure you're gonna be able to handle him? It's a long trail. He's a pup, but he's a Texan.
I'll handle him.
Question is, what are you gonna do about the lynchings?
Well, I've got to do some investigating into that, right enough.
Any idea who's responsible?
Idea, maybe. Fact is, them three was...
The law says something about a trial before a hanging?
I know. Damn it, I know, Matt.
Tucker.
The colonel had his own reasons. You see, his youngest boy was killed. He's bushwhacked her. Well, the colonel, he blamed it on the riffraff, and that is the beginning.
Doesn't excuse a lynching.
Tucker and a lot of the rest of them, they stood my bond. I guess you could say they got me elected, too. I go to sticking my nose in their business, and I'm liable to get it bit clean off.
I sure wouldn't want to be the man who tried to bite off your nose when we rode together.
Well, times change, Matt. You was right to get out of marshalling. Back in our day, a man could wear a badge and not feel like he's just another hired hand. Besides, you only had yourself to take care of. I had me a family. Come a rainy day, a man sometimes needs more than just a slicker.
The hell with the rainy days, Abel. We're talking about the total of a man's life here. How much of himself he's willing to sell off.
Rose turns and stalks off. Dillon turns to Rusty.
What's your name, boy? I said, what's your name?
Rusty. Rusty Dover.
All right, Rusty. Go get my cows.
Out on the trail.
You're stubborn, man. I give you that. I mean, I wouldn't have figured nobody would chow as far as you did. Not for no 100 head.
My 100 head, and that's not to mention 2 men killed.
Well, it ain't gonna do you no good, because Tommy Graham's gonna kill you. That's what he's gonna do.
The feuding Grahams?
That's right. And Tommy don't tolerate nothing from no man.
I wouldn't count on that. He's already run into me one time before.
He's just lucky.
You're riding with a bad bunch there, boy. Why?
They're my friends. They're as good as family to me.
Family's family. Your friends are nothing but a bunch of thieves and killers.
You don't know nothing about it.
No?
Elsewhere, Colonel Tucker careens on horseback through a crowd of people gathered for a barbecue. People laugh and cheer as he knocks over a table. One of the cooks ducks as his barbecue is overturned.
Somebody give me a drink here.
Here you go, Colonel.
Oh, thanks, son.
Cole hands his father up a drink.
Ah-ha! It was May 27th, Canterbury Hill or Baxter the Sea. But I had 407 Texas volunteers behind me and a Tennessee stud horse under my ass. And the charge we made that morning, folks, like something will never be seen again.
How come y'all took such a licking, Pa?
Licking? Licking? I'll show you licking. You don't.
The colonel kicks his horse into motion, chasing a laughing Cole. Maneuvering around and over the tables, he circles a tree. Cole pulls his gun and fires a shot in the air. Startled, the colonel's horse rears and throws him. He crashes into a table, and the crowd laughs uproariously.
Them damn Yankees are getting meaner every year, ain't they, Pa? Come on, get up. It don't look like you broke nothing.
Cole helps his father to his feet, and they notice Dylan and Rusty riding toward them.
Afternoon, Colonel.
Yo, Matt! Didn't necessarily expect to see you again so soon. You still looking for them cows of yours?
That's right, Colonel. Didn't realize this was your place. Get the cows back, I'm amped across your land.
Why, you go right ahead. Who you got there?
He's a wrangler picked up on the trail.
You ain't gonna do much wrangling hog-tied like that.
Who manage?
We're just celebrating my birthday here. Why don't you climb down and join us?
Pa, I seen that boy before.
Riding with Tommy Graham.
Glad to see you're cleaning up the litter around here, Matt. Of course, you don't speak for the law no more, do you?
You?
My friends and me swore a solemn oath to put an end to that sort. Return the people to law and order.
Your law, your order? You even got a name for it, haven't you? Committee of 50. All that means is somebody's got a taste for blood.
Blood purifies. Says so in the Bible.
Tell you, Colonel, you're not gonna take this boy.
That's the kind of trash kill my boy, Georgie. That kind of vermin needs to be exterminated. I could insist.
One of the colonel's sons reaches for his gun.
I wouldn't do that.
No. It's all right. Why, shoot, Matt, have it your way. I'm sure you're gonna do what's right, eventually.
So long, Colonel.
Matt turns his horse and rides off, leading Rusty.
You just gonna let him ride out?
It's all right, son. Nobody steals from us and ours without paying a price. Nobody ever has. That boy ain't gonna be the first.
At night, Beth and Will ride through a downpour.
There's a light up ahead.
They approach a small house with a light in the window.
Come on,
Wait a minute. You don't know who these people are. And with everything we've heard...
Fine. You stay here and drown, not me.
He follows her.
Hello, inside!
The door opens a crack, and a rifle barrel pokes through. Will's hat is shot off.
Will!
Don't move an inch, or the next one puts you under! Who are you?
I'm Beth Dillon from down south.
A man comes out, aiming a rifle at Beth. Behind them is a boy holding a lantern and another rifle.
All right! Move in closer! Hold it there! Step on down! Let me have a look at you!
Beth and Will dismount.
Now, walk your horses on in, time up. Come on in.
Kirby, put these folks' horses in the barn. Give them some feed and wipe down the saddles.
Yes, sir.
You can put your stuff up over there.
The man's young wife holds a baby.
You folks look hungry. There's a pot of stew on, plenty for everyone.
We sure could eat. Thank you.
Beth and Will take off their wet gear.
Sorry about putting that hole in your hat, but strangers this far up make us edgy. What are you doing up here?
Rustlers hit our place a week ago. My father trailed them up this way.
Alone? That's a fool thing to do.
You don't know my father.
Soon after, Lizzie Tewksbury stirs a pot while Beth holds the baby.
Your Mr. McCall seems awfully nice.
He's not mine, Mr. McCall.
I just thought since you were traveling together.
He's an Easterner. My folks hired him. Now I seem to be stuck with him.
Will you give him a chance? Maybe there could be worse things you could be stuck with.
At the dinner table.
We sure do appreciate your hospitality.
Afraid hospitality comes in second place out here.
What's first?
Staying alive.
Rustlers?
Grahams.
Grahams?
Tewksbury and the Grahams been feuding in this valley for longer than I care to think about.
Then you must be a Tewksbury.
I am.
Kin to Charlie Tewksbury?
Charlie's my brother. He's working down by Tombstone now. You must know Charlie.
Beth and Will exchange an uncomfortable glance.
Sir, I need to talk to you.
Spit it out, boy, or you're gonna bust.
Mr. Tewksbury, your brother's dead.
How do you know?
I was there. He was shot.
Tommy Graham, wasn't it?
Will nods.
John.
I told Charlie not to leave. That it was safer for him here in his own place. But he was set on getting out.
He just wanted to find some peace.
No such thing as peace in Pleasant Valley. Like living in a crossfire. Men dying on both sides. Last spring, they bushwhacked my little brother Frank up on the rim. And they killed Pa. And now Charlie. They're gonna pay for it.
John rushes out. Beth and Will sit awkwardly as Lizzie goes to the baby. Later, Will goes out onto the porch.
It's getting late, Beth.
She stands quietly, wrapped in a blanket.
Well, I'm sorry I couldn't tell them. I just didn't know how.
That's okay.
Well, we'll be pulling out early, so I want you to saddle the horses and get the
stop it. Now, I've had a long day and a worse week, and I'll be damned if I'm going to take any more of your orders.
Orders?
Quiet! You listen to me. Now, what needs to get done tomorrow is going to get done, understand? Now, I understand about the pain of your mother's death, even if you refuse to show it. I do. And I wish there was something I could do, but I can't.
When she doesn't respond, he turns to go inside.
Good night.
He stops by the door.
Beth?
Finally, she turns to him.
Come in by the fire. Please.
She walks toward him. And he stands aside to let her go in. Out on the trail.
You don't handle yourself like no rancher.
Came to it late.
Well, it ain't no kind of life, I can tell you that.
It's honest.
Honest? It's what my daddy would have said. Hell, he's as honest as the day is long. And dirt poor.
And you're an improvement on that, huh?
I sure am. I got my pride. I stand up for those that stand up with me. Dave ran me off, he said I'd probably hang. Maybe I will. But I spit in the eye of the man that does it.
Why'd your daddy run you off in the first place?
None of your damn business, that's what that is. Now what?
Dylan studies some tracks.
Right here. Came through here this morning since the storm.
Well, ain't that an event?
Well, it wouldn't be. Except this one here. Riding a horse with a bar shoe.
They ride off, slowly approaching the top of a hill. At the Tewksbury Ranch, Will crosses the yard to John.
I should be doing that, Mr. Tewksbury. Least I could do for your hospitality.
John puts down the saw.
You're finding that girl's father is an important thing.
Shot, John collapses onto Will. Kirby runs toward them, and he's shot down.
We got him, Tommy.
The Grahams stand behind a nearby wall.
That's for Jimmy and mine! Rotten hell, Tewksbury!
John!
Someone's stirring down there. To the last man.
Will tries to drag John to safety.
Don't leave me!
But when the shooting resumes, he dives behind the water trough.
Will!
Then he runs for the house. Inside, Beth runs to close the door after him, and a terrified Lizzie rocks her baby.
He's still alive, ma'am. He's still alive! Who is that fella?
I don't know.
Oh, it don't really matter. Still gotta clean out the whole nest of them.
Inside, Will and Beth close the shutters. Will gets one of John's rifles off the wall and hands it to Beth. Beth tries to reassure Lizzie, but outside, the Grahams are coming over the wall toward the house.
They're coming down.
Lauren, keep your head down.
The Grahams take cover behind a rough fence. The wounded John tries to get to his feet as Beth and Will watch helplessly from the house.
Can't finish, Tommy.
Oh. Tommy stops Billy from firing. Oh. He waits until John finally manages to stand and shoots him in the back of the thigh.
Oh, God.
Beth and Will can only watch as John crawls toward the house.
Well, ain't that the best sight ever? A Tewksbury crawling!
Beth and Will start to fire, and one of the Grahams goes down. From a window, Lizzie sees John crawling across the yard.
Piece by piece, boys. Like slaughtering beef.
Another shot hits John. Bullets shatter the window where Lizzie looks out.
Ma'am, get away from the window!
Lizzie puts the baby in its cradle. As the gun battle continues, Lizzie runs out the front door. She runs toward John.
Stop it! Stop it!
Tommy guns her down. John fights to crawl toward his wife's body.
Lizzie!
John's outstretched fingers are just inches from Lizzie's when his hand goes limp and falls into the dirt. In the house, Beth and Will sag against the wall in despair. The bodies of John and Lizzie Tewksbury lie in the sunny yard.
Billy, take Roe with you and torch it. One way or the other, we'll clear him out.
The Grahams continue to fire relentlessly. From inside the house, Will returns their fire, desperately trying to fend them off. Billy and Roe sneak through the horse corral and into the barn. Inside, Beth holds the baby as Will holds off the Grahams. Nearby, Dylan hears the shots. He dismounts, holding his lariat.
Get down.
Rusty doesn't move.
Let's go.
Hey!
Dylan drags him off the horse.
What are you doing?
Dylan ties him to a tree. At the ranch, Billy and Roe dash with a lit kerosene lantern from the barn to the back of the house. Roe turns up the flame on the lantern while Billy smashes a window. Roe throws the lantern through the window and the floor ignites. Billy fires at Will and Beth through the shattered window.
Get in the bedroom and shut the door!
Beth runs into the other room with the baby. Outside, the Grahams run into the yard, taking cover behind a wagon. Inside, the fire is spreading, and Will uses a curtain to beat it out. In the yard, the Grahams wait, guns ready, while smoke escapes from the house. Roe rejoins Tommy.
Billy's going around the back. We got him pinned down.
Will is unable to put the fire out, and smoke pours from the house. He presses a cloth over his nose as he looks out. Meanwhile, Dylan gallops to the top of a nearby hill and pulls to a stop.
Let's take him!
The Grahams charge the house. Dylan shoots one of them down.
On the hill! I'm on the hill!
Will starts firing again.
Damn! Got us in a crossfire!
Yeah. under fire from two directions, the Grahams flee. Dylan mounts his horse and gallops for the house. The Grahams race toward a grove of trees where their horses are hidden. Dylan charges up to the house in time to see the Grahams riding away. Inside the smoking house, Will beats frantically at the roaring flames. Dylan dismounts and opens the front door.
Will! We're okay. I need help!
Dylan pulls his neckerchief over his nose and helps Will fight the fire. The Grahams gallop away from the burning ranch.
Tommy! Billy!
They find Rusty where he's tied to a tree.
Hey, it's me, Rusty.
Hell, I can't pull the trigger. It's no use to us.
Yeah, yeah!
They ride away, leaving him tied to the tree. In the bedroom of the Tewksbury house, Beth comforts the baby as Dylan walks in.
Beth,
what are you doing here?
I came looking for you. Don't blame Will. Nobody could have done better when the trouble hit. Not even you.
Beth, I found the cattle. I'm just gonna get them started, then I'm gonna catch up with you. Now, the important thing is for you and Will, get this baby into Payson.
I know. What if he gets sick? I wouldn't know what to do.
Now, Beth, you'll do fine. I'll meet you in Payson.
Dylan leaves, and Beth rocks the baby, who gives her a toothless smile. Outside.
Sheriff's name in Payson is Abel Rose. Tell him what happened and who's responsible.
Right.
Will has put the bodies of the Tewksburys in the back of the wagon.
They were good people, sir. Shot down without a chance.
Yeah. Seems to be Graham's style. Will, appreciate you standing by Beth the way you did. Did a real good job here. You can be proud of yourself.
Thank you, sir.
Dylan rides back to where he left Rusty.
About time. Figured you was killed or something.
You worried, were you?
Oh, sick to death with it. What happened up there?
Yeah, your friends, they got away. I'm surprised they didn't stop and pick you up.
I didn't see nobody.
Yeah, but you must have dozed off, because the tracks go right by here.
So now what?
So I'm still short 100 head. Let's go.
At the ranch, Beth climbs up on the wagon seat, and Will gently lifts the baby. As she takes it from him, they gaze intently at each other for a moment. Will climbs up and takes the reins. Drives out of the yard, their horses tied behind the wagon. Out on the grassy plain, Dylan and Rusty ride toward a large pen crowded with cattle.
Graham's place?
Still gonna try and take Billy and the boys?
That's
right.
They got you outgunned, mister. Weren't no cow ever dropped worth getting killed over.
Billy is carrying an armload of firewood when he spots Dylan and Rusty by the cattle pen.
Tommy! Tommy!
Billy drops the wood and calls into a little shack. Tommy Graham comes out and sees Dylan. Tommy walks out and splashes water on his face from the trough.
What do we do?
Bury him.
Outside.
As Dylan watches, the Grahams come out of the shack, strapping on their gun belts.
Well, Dylan, you found your cows. Now all you gotta do is take them.
The Grahams load their guns as Dylan and Rusty watch.
Dylan? Hey, Dylan, I'll fight with you. They got you outgunned 5-1 just on Tommy. Let me have my gun. I said I stand with any man that stands with me. Now, you did, and they didn't.
You'd still have to go back to Tombstone.
Hell, I'd just soon get shot up here as to get hung down there.
Dylan considers the 5 Graham men arming in front of the shack and unties Rusty's hands. Dylan hands Rusty a 6-gun.
You know how to use it.
You just watch me.
All right, circle around behind the corral. We'll stampede him.
When?
Don't know when.
Rusty rides to the other side of the cattle pen. The Grahams watch and wait. Dylan settles his prancing horse as the Grahams march toward the cattle pen.
That's far enough, Graham.
What do you want, Dylan?
My cattle. And you. I'm taking you in, the whole bunch of you.
Billy, I am clean out of patience.
Dylan pulls a section of the pen down, and Rusty fires to frighten the cattle. They stampede directly toward the Grahams, scattering them and knocking them down. Off to the side, Tommy aims his rifle at Dylan, but Rusty shoots him and he goes down. As the cattle continue to charge, Tommy pulls his 6-gun. Dylan shoots him, and he falls again as his remaining men run for their horses and flee.
Boy, I'll take the gun back now.
You gonna tie me up again?
Expect I'd have to kill you if I said yes to that, huh?
Rusty hands over the 6-shooter.
Just remember what I told you. I ain't no boy.
Yeah, I'll remember. Rusty.
In the town of Payson, Will and Beth drive down the busy main street in their wagon. They pull up to the sheriff's office, where the deputy stands on the sidewalk.
Are you the sheriff?
No, he's over to the saloon.
Well, you better get him. We've got some murders to report.
Murders? More? Well, who should I say is?
I'm Will McCall, that's Beth Dillon. And these folks are the Tewksburys. Happened yesterday.
Ma'am, did he say you was a Dylan?
Yes.
Kin to Matt Dillon?
Yes, how'd you know?
Oh, just guessing. Well, you folks wait right here. I'll go get the sheriff.
Out on the grassland, Rusty and Dylan herd his cattle.
Thank you.
pretty good hand, Rusty.
Well, it was the front and back end of my education.
You never told me why your folks ran you off of their place.
It weren't my folks. It was my pa. My ma, she died. And, he remarried again, you know, some young little old thing. She weren't that much older than me. I mean, don't get me wrong for nothing. I was something wild, all right. Fact is, she kind of liked that, you know, and when he found out how much she liked it. Well, I never touched her, though, I swear, even though she never missed her chance. I wouldn't have done that to him. But he thought I did.
Rusty, who killed Charlie Tewksbury?
It was Tommy. I weren't never even a thief before that. I don't suppose you got any reason to believe that, though.
No. Maybe I do.
Do? Thank you. About ready to get them old damn mangy cows you're so fond of going again.
Rusty and Dylan drive the cattle through a gully.
You believe that? There's Dylan with that cow thief.
Nearby, two men on horseback watch from a grove of trees.
You best go tell the colonel. Come on.
Later, in Payson.
Howdy, Mr. Dylan.
Deputy. My daughter show up here?
It sure did. Her and her escort, too. Oh, well, he's bunking with me. She's over at Ms. Oliver's place down at the end of the street on your right. You ever find them cows of yours?
Yeah, they're just outside of town.
Well, at least you ain't towing no dead bodies this time.
No, this time I buried them.
The deputy stops and stares as Dylan goes to find the sheriff.
Tommy Graham, Billy Wilson, Sam Grady. Any leftovers?
I was a couple, but the way they were riding, they're probably halfway to Texas.
How about that kid we rode out with, Dover?
He's tending my herd.
Got a chance, ain't he?
Well, I don't think so. Young fella might turn out to be one to ride the river with.
A woman sees them.
Sheriff.
Claire, this here is Matt Dillon.
Oh, please, come in.
They follow her inside.
Like to pay you something for your trouble, Mrs.
Oliver. Nonsense. Your daughter has more than earned her keep. She's a fine girl.
Matt, I'll just wait for you downstairs.
Beth, your father's come to get you.
Beth is holding the baby.
Matt, you're all right.
Beth, how's the little fella?
He's fine. He's got kinfolk in California. Mrs. Oliver's going to see he gets there.
Beth did real good with him.
Good. Beth, you know, it's time we got started for home.
All right.
Claire holds out her arms for the baby, but Beth holds on, pressing her cheek to his forehead.
I didn't think it would be so hard to say goodbye.
Oh, it's all right, child. You'll have your own baby soon enough.
Trying not to cry, Beth gives her the baby.
He's so tiny. So alone.
Thanks to you, he'll never have to be alone again. It's not just the baby, is it?
No. It's Mom. I really miss her.
She goes to Dylan.
So do I.
He puts his arms around her in comfort.
So do I.
Later, Dylan comes out of the sheriff's office with Rose.
Well, Matt, trouble in this valley should be settled. Thanks to you.
Things don't settle, Abel, they get settled. One of these days, somebody's gonna have stand against Tucker.
20 years ago, it might have been me.
Dylan mounts his horse.
You sure you ain't looking to pin a badge on again?
I got my cows back. Got no more use for Pleasant Valley. So long, Abel.
Dylan rides out of town. Outside of town, Dylan leads Beth and Will to where Rusty stands guard over the herd.
Is that him, Matt?
Go easy on him, Beth.
Will and Dylan wait as Beth rides up to Rusty.
I'm mighty sorry about what happened at your place, ma'am. I didn't see it coming.
My father says you're all right.
I'm trying. Father, he's quite a man.
Yes, he is.
All right, let's move him out.
Slowly, the herd starts to move. They drive the cattle through a stream. When they emerge, Dylan and Rusty are at the rear of the herd, while Beth and Will work together near the front.
They sweet on each other.
I don't know. Is that what it looked like to you?
I'd at least say they working themselves up to it. Does that feller suit you?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't given that much thought.
He ain't that much of a cowboy. Which means he's got more sense than me and you.
Rusty, you know, when we get back to Tombstone, I'm going to put in a word for you. Your side of the story might be some help.
I appreciate that.
When you get straight with the law, if you're a mind, come by and see me. Might be we have a job for you at the ranch.
Rusty is speechless with gratitude. At night, the cattle rest quietly in the dark. Dylan's group is gathered around a campfire.
I'll take the first watch. Rusty, you Nighthawk. Will?
I'll relieve Rusty. Just tell me when.
Later, Rusty sits on his horse and watches the herd. He ambles around the perimeter, nudging back any cattle that try to wander off.
That's right. Move over a little bit. Move. That a girl. Yeah, easy now.
The noise draws his attention to the bushes.
Damn cows, anyway.
He turns to go check on the noise. A vigilante wearing a hood appears and holds a gun on him. Another vigilante clubs Rusty to the ground. Shortly after, he's back on his horse surrounded by torch-carrying vigilantes. There's a noose around his neck.
We didn't forget you, boy. You're gonna hang for your thieving ways. Anything you want to say before you go?
Yeah. Why are you hiding behind that damn hood? Who do you think you're fooling anyway?
Colonel Tucker takes off his hood.
Suit you better now?
Rusty nods and spits in his face.
Yeah.
and swing!
Rusty's horse runs, leaving him kicking and jerking at the end of the rope. Colonel Tucker wipes his face, and the circle of vigilantes watches Rusty's body sway in the torchlight. The next morning, Dylan finds Rusty's riderless horse. A moment later, he sees Rusty's body still hanging from the tree. Dylan rides back to camp. He leads Rusty's horse with his lifeless body over the saddle.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
They lynched him. Will, can you get him down?
Yes, sir.
Who?
Vigilantes.
But he was just a boy.
He stood some taller than that.
Where are you going?
Beth. You and Will. Take the herd. Go on home.
He sits to pack his saddlebags.
I know Rusty meant something to you, but...
He was murdered, Beth.
I understand why you had to go after our stock, but this isn't the same thing. Let's go home. I lost Mom. I don't want to lose you. Please, don't go.
I have to, Beth. I spent a lot of years wearing a badge because I believed in the law. I still do.
But you're not the law anymore.
I'm a man, Beth. Means I gotta live with myself. It's all part of the same thing. You go home. I'll be alone.
She stands unhappily as Dylan goes to speak to Will.
Give him a good burial, Will.
Here? What about his people?
If he had any that counted, he'd still be alive. And Will, the herd. Push him hard. The sooner you're out of Pleasant Valley, the better.
Right.
Dylan walks to his horse.
I'll be back, Beth. I promise.
She stands with her back to him as he rides away. Out on the grassland, Dylan comes across Sheriff Rose, who sits on his horse, his rifle propped on his thigh.
Morning, Matt.
Abel, what brings you out this way?
I heard some rumors in town that the committee was going to ride last night on your trail.
Yeah, they did.
The boy? Oh, hell. You're going after the colonel, ain't you?
I am.
I'll ride along.
Let's go.
At the colonel's big house, everything is quiet. Several horses are tied to hitching posts in the sun, but no people are about as Dylan and Rose ride up. Cole Tucker comes around the corner of the house carrying a bucket and hesitates when he spots Dylan and Rose approaching. Watching over his shoulder, he goes into the house.
Hey, it, Pa.
Cattle mill in front of the house. On the far side of the herd, Dylan and Rose dismount. Rose breaks open his shotgun to load it.
Never did tell me how you got into ranching.
Maybe over a beer sometime.
Be looking forward to it.
The colonel comes out of the house strapping on a gun belt. Virgil and Cole are with him.
Rose! I bought you with good money! I thought we had us a deal.
Dylan pulls a rifle from his saddle scabbard.
Lord, boys, I do hate to see an investment go sour this way.
The colonel, he's a talker.
Step on out here, boys. We got us some visitors. Dylan, you're on my property. This time you ain't welcome. This time you're trespassing.
We're here to take you and your boys in for murder.
Murder? Well, what poor soul are we discussing here?
Rusty Dover. He was just a boy, Tucker.
That boy had bad habits, Dylan.
Five armed men now surround the colonel on the porch.
How do you want to take him?
Straight on.
I don't know.
Dylan and Rose start walking toward the house.
Huh?
Yeah.
The colonel signals his men to walk out to meet Dylan, but remains on the porch.
Five of them. You got any preference?
Prefer you didn't miss. And you?
This here scatter gun, I gotta get close. On a walk.
The colonel watches as his men cross the yard, and Dylan and Rose make their way through the cattle. Virgil Tucker draws and shoots. As Dylan and the sheriff return fire, two of the Tucker men are shot down, and another is wounded. They start to pull back.
No retreat! Hold down! Hold your damn ground!
As the sheriff reloads, Virgil shoots him in the leg and he falls. Dylan shoots Cole, then runs out of bullets. He immediately pulls his six-shooter and shoots one of the hired hands. Then Virgil. As the colonel watches in disbelief, Cole fires, hitting Dylan in the arm. But before he can fire again, Sheriff Rose shoots Cole in the belly.
Hey, Doodle.
The colonel staggers down the porch steps.
Cole! Son? I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry, Virgil. I'm sorry.
The colonel straightens from the bodies and walks toward Dylan, who holds his wounded right arm.
You want to give it up, Colonel?
You go straight to hell. I didn't give it up at Canterbury Hill. I didn't give it up at Shiloh. And I ain't going to give it up now.
The colonel reaches for his sidearm.
You get your arm up, Matt?
Yeah.
Blood runs down Dylan's arm toward his gun.
Take it.
When the colonel aims his pistol, Dylan raises his gun and fires. The colonel is hit in the chest. He tries to shoot Dylan, but misses. When Dylan's next shot hits him, he falls to the ground and lies motionless. Dylan picks up his rifle and goes to Rose, who stands using his shotgun as a cane.
How you feeling?
like a lawman.
And what do you say we get out of here?
They walk slowly toward their horses. At the ranch, Will walks out carrying a bucket. He stops when he realizes Dylan is riding up.
Beth!
Beth comes out to stand on the porch. Dylan stops and dismounts at the gate. Beth smiles and runs to meet him. They stand staring at each other. She throws herself into her father's arms for a hug. This program has been described by Audiovision, Pat Hingle, Amy Stockpointon, Matt Mulhern, Jason Lively, Joseph Bottoms, and Morgan Woodward as Abel Rose. Co-starring, James Booth, The Preacher, Amanda Wiss, Lizzie Tewksbury, Jim Beaver, Deputy Rudd, Herman Poppy, John Tewksbury, and Ken Swofford as Charlie Tewksbury, Don Collier, Sheriff, Ed Adams, Billy Wilson, Loy W. Burns, Kirby Tewksbury, Andy Sherman, Virgil Tucker. Music by Artie Kane. Executive in charge of production, Norman S. Powell. This film is dedicated to the memory of John Meston. Copyright 1991, CBS Incorporated. CBS Entertainment Productions.